I don't have any wisdom to answer that question. Nothing inherent within me. It's a question that I've had to ask myself at times in my life. But here's the wonderful thing. God gives us what we need. God gives us what we need to know that we can trust. And God gives us what we need to let that trust grow. But I want to start off this morning by mentioning two very regrettable and yet pervasive mistakes that brethren make from time to time. And I know this just from interacting with brethren, particularly in those times where they're really struggling with something. Here are the mistakes. I thought becoming a Christian meant that that was the end of any serious difficulty in my life. That becoming a Christian meant the end of any real hardship in my life. Now, I knew that there would occasionally be some slight dips in the road, but certainly no deep valleys. I just didn't think that would happen again. Another mistake, I thought that when I became a Christian, all the questions that I have, they'd be answered now. And I would always know exactly what to say in every situation and circumstance. And if I find myself in a tough spot, I will know exactly what the answer is every single time. And here's the thing, beloved. Neither one of these is true. And neither one of these is promised. And if we were to go throughout our lives as Christians believing that they were, and yet we're not experiencing them, we will face disillusionment. We will face discouragement. Because the hard times do come. And there are questions we don't know the answers to. And so I want us to consider a few questions ourselves. If all must be going well for me to trust God, then what am I supposed to do when it's not going well? How do I worship when I just frankly don't feel much like worshiping? And how am I supposed to grow in my faith when I just don't understand what's going on? And how do I trust God when God just seems so far away? It's really that last question that I think will inform each of the ones that comes before it. But I want to focus on a portion of each one of these three questions after the one at the top. I don't feel, I don't understand, he seems. Those are all things that are based upon feelings in the moment. Those are all things that are based upon current emotions. Now, we'll come back to that a little bit later. But these are all questions that Christians have asked. And I just want you to notice that built into them is the feeling, the emotion of a moment. Bear that in mind. Let's talk about the idea of a faraway God. Circumstances can certainly make it seem that way sometimes, can't they? You ever had a time where you're just kind of overwhelmed by the things that are happening in your life? And you just cry out to God, where are you? I mean, have you forgotten me? You ever have one of those times? I know that you have. You ever feel guilty in those times? You ever feel guilty asking those questions? Well, here's something that I think is very encouraging. When you ask those questions, you are in some really good company. In Psalm 10 and verse 1, the psalmist said, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" I mean, some of the most well-known words in all of Scripture come from the 22nd Psalm. Jesus uttered this from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. Psalm 43, the first part of verse 2 says this, "For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me?" Job, who was going through so much, in the 23rd chapter, verses 8 and 9, says these words, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him." I've had these moments. I've had times when I've said these things, when I've thought these things. I'm certain that Christians in here who have any age on them at all have likely found themselves in very similar situations. Now, we're going to come back to these types of individuals in just a moment, and we're going to talk about this. But before we do that, I do want to make a quick point. These individuals that we looked at, they were calling out to God. They were individuals who were actively seeking Him. They were individuals who were actively taking refuge in God. They were true disciples, in other words. Now, there are times when the issue is not the sense of a faraway God. It's a faraway disciple who is not doing any of those things. And if God seems far away to a disciple like that, well, how could he seem like anything else? So let's bear that in mind, but that's not the main point of the sermon this morning. Let's go back to the psalmists. Let's go back to Job. Those who truly loved God. Those who were truly pursuing God and yet found themselves at a moment or a period of their lives where they just had to say, "God, where have you gone? Why have you rejected me? And why can't I find you no matter which way that I turn?" And here's where we need to talk about emotions and feelings. You know, emotions can be absolutely wonderful. Can you imagine living in an absolutely emotionless world? I wouldn't want any part of that. And we certainly know, as we read Scripture from one end to the other, our God is certainly not emotionless. And as we examine the life of Christ and we see the things that He did and the things that He said, our Lord is certainly not emotionless. Emotions can be wonderful things. They're a gift from God. They are a blessing. And emotions can be very useful things as well. You know, we don't like to think about times where we're feeling guilty, but guilt is an emotion. And if it should be in our lives at the moment, it is useful for it to be there, to prompt us to fix what needs fixing. Compassion, that's an emotion, at least there's an emotional element to it. Kindness. These are very useful things. These are very good things, and it's good that emotion exists, but something else that it can do is blind us to the truth, particularly when in the moment things are going very, very poorly. I want to show you what I mean. Here is an absolute fact. Write this down in stone because God said it was true. Quoting from Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 and verse 8. The Hebrew writer, quoting Jesus, said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a fact. That's just what was said. It is absolutely certain. Now, let me give you a feeling. Life is really hard right now. And I am in one of those valleys where the clouds are dark and I'm not seeing a way out. I'm not seeing a way through this. I am feeling horrible now. God seems to have forsaken me. Those are not the same things. One is a fact. The other is a feeling that will be there during that period of time. And what we need to do and what God urges us to do all the way throughout the Scriptures is to seek Him over subjective feelings. They're not the same things. And praise God that they're not, because they change so often. And while it's easy to know this, theoretically, in the moment, it can be really hard, can it? I think I've put this quote before you before. It's one of the saddest statements that I have ever seen from a child of God, and it breaks your heart to see one who is in this place. But the statement was made, "How can I keep my eyes on God when my eyes are so filled with tears?" That's heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking. And I'll say what I said at the beginning. I have no wisdom to offer in this. But God does. And praise Him for that. So what our God has done is give us a blueprint. A blessed blueprint. That even in the midst of times that are so hard, so painful, and even as the tears blur the vision, our eyes can stay locked on Him. And as the song Brother Robert led right before the sermon, even in those times, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And I want to start with this. Tell God exactly how you feel. You know, there was a time when I looked at Job chapter 7 and verse 11, and it made me really uncomfortable. It made me really uncomfortable. This is what Job says there. "Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." And I would look at that and I would think, boy, you don't talk to God that way. You don't think that way when you're thinking about God. But I'll tell you something, as the years have gone on, I love that that's there in Scripture. I love that that's there. And I think what it does is it reminds us of a couple of really important things for God's people. We don't need to sanitize or perform our prayers. Let me tell you what I mean. Have you ever felt the need, when you bow your head, you go to God in prayer, to kind of clean up what you actually want to say? Try to clean it up a little bit. Try to sanitize it a little bit so it doesn't come out the way it's actually sitting in your heart. You ever do that? And then what it leads to is you go into God and not actually saying what you need to say to Him. As if God doesn't know what's there. As if He doesn't know what's going on. As if He doesn't know what you want and what you need. We don't have to sanitize our prayers, beloved. And in fact, it's detrimental to our souls when we do that. And we don't have to perform them. What do I mean by that? Beloved, when we go to God in prayer, our speech doesn't have to become flowery. If we don't talk that way normally, we don't have to thee and thou. We don't have to speak to God using language we don't use on an everyday basis. We don't have to perform. It doesn't make the prayer holier. What it does is set before Him something that we are not generally. We don't have to do that. And praise Him that we don't. Go to God and unload everything that is in your heart. Don't try to clean it up. Don't try to frame it in flowery speech. Just tell Him everything. Let it out. And if somebody says, well, I would do that, but I struggle with that. I don't even know what to say. Don't worry about that either. The Spirit Himself will help you. Romans chapter 8 teaches us. What a blessing prayer is. And what a blessing that we don't have to sanitize it. And we don't have to perform it. And if we can go to God in that way and truly pour the entire mess out before Him, in that alone, there is something very, very wonderful. But we are not resting on that alone. Because what we can do, even in the midst of incredible pain and incredible anguish, is focus in upon God's unchanging nature. I think of James chapter 1 and verse 17, where James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And there's a lot of wonderful things in that verse already. But here's what I really want us to focus on this morning, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. One of the wisest just pieces of advice I ever heard somebody give was, do not make a permanent decision based on a temporary feeling. That almost sounds like that could be in the Proverbs somewhere. It's absolutely true. And it tells us a lot about our feelings, doesn't it? It tells us a lot about our emotions. They change. They change all of the time. And they do betray us sometimes. I mean, we can be in a period of time where we are feeling a certain way, and less than a minute later, we find out we ought not to have been feeling that way. And we go to the other end of the spectrum. And those happy feelings, those good feelings that we can have from time to time, and we love to have them, they can abandon us like that. It takes a phone call, doesn't it? It takes a phone call. And we can go from here to here just like that. Our feelings are always changing. They're betraying us. They're abandoning us. God never does. The words of 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7, the promise contained therein will always be true. There will not be a time when it ceases to be true. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Those are some of my favorite verses in the Bible. I've said this to you many, many times in the years that I've been here. And I keep bringing it up because I think it's such a wonderful, wonderful promise and blessing that we have. If it concerns us, it concerns Him. Because that's how much He loves us. That's how much He loves us. And that's not going to change. What an extraordinary blessing that we can have. And in the very deepest, darkest valleys, when our heart is breaking, when the feelings are gone, the good emotions have abandoned, God is who God has always been. And what a blessing that is. And that means we can trust our God to keep His promises. In Numbers 23 and verse 19, there's an interesting statement made. This is where Balak has hired Balaam to go out and curse Israel. And it seems as though Balaam would have loved to have been able to do that, but God wouldn't let him. And in the midst of that, this statement is made. God is not man that he should lie? Or a son of man that he should change his mind? Has he said and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? I want you to think back just on this past week. Anybody lied to you this past week? You found out that they did it. You knew it was a lie. What about this past month? Well, I guess it would have to have been just this morning if it's this month. Let's go back to July. Anybody in July lie to you? You found out that they lied. Things they were saying were just untrue. I mean, how many times have we been lied to this year, do you think? Lies that we found out and lies that we haven't found out. How many times do you think we've been lied to? God will never, ever lie. And that means if God makes us a promise, God is going to keep that promise. And I'll tell you what that does for me anyway. That provides a constant spark. Because every child of God is going to get to that point where the happy feelings aren't there. Where you're looking for something to take hold of. Where in your own personal little world, things are getting awfully dark. You are looking for that light. And here it is. Because as bad as it may appear to be, God has made promises to His people. And God is no liar. Even if every person around us, and the Scripture says, let God be true though everyone were a liar. Even if everybody is lying, God will not. And even if everyone that we know has made a promise to us and broken that promise, God will not. Has He said, and will He not perform it? And that's a spark, isn't it? It will always keep a light shining. Because we know, yeah, it's gonna be tough sometimes, and it's gonna be bad sometimes. But we're not in that thing alone. Even when it feels like we are. How do we know? Because the feeling says otherwise. How do we know? Because God promised. And God is no liar. And if we had to question, well, how can I know that He loves me that much? Let's conclude with this thought. Remember what He's already done. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, Paul is talking there about Jesus and about what God has done with the Lord. He said, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Let me ask you something. If you gave your only son for the benefit of someone else, would you quickly cast that individual aside when you consider the price that you paid? When you consider what you've done for them? Would you quickly abandon that individual? Why would we ever believe that's what God is doing in the difficult, dark, painful, sorrow-filled times? We'll come back to the fact of this truth. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. This is what we can know. When we go through that thing and we get into that valley, as we are crying out to our Lord, oh, for grace to trust You more. And even though we're hurting and there's sorrow and there's tears and there's pain, we are clinging to Him with everything that we have. We can know this. He's clinging back.
He's clinging back, beloved. And we can know that. It's the adversary who is saying, no, don't trust that. Trust the feeling of the moment. Trust the emotion of the moment. Make a permanent decision now on that temporary feeling. That's the adversary talking to us, beloved. It is not our God. Because our God is saying, just hang on to the end. And even if this thing kills you, I have a crown that I'm just waiting to give you. And what a blessed thought that is. I'm struggling to trust God. So what can I do? And I hope as we've considered what the Scripture teaches this morning, and we've looked at the pattern, the blueprint that our God has left for us, you found the sermon encouraging and helpful. There may be some here this morning who are not Christians. There may be some who are viewing over the live stream who are not Christians. And you're not yet in that saved relationship with Jesus Christ. You can remedy that. You can remedy it today. The Scripture tells us we must believe with all of our heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and He is. It tells us we must be willing to repent of our sins, to confess our faith in Jesus as Lord, and to be immersed in water to have our sins washed clean from your soul. If you are ready to do that, I can make this promise to you. God is ready to receive you, and heaven is ready to rejoice. If you're subject to the call of the gospel, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.